Hello folks, my name is Arya and I welcome you all to this live session. Today we are going to talk about one of the most commonly used tools by ethical hackers and pen testers for a wide range of activities. It runs on a variety of systems, for example Windows, Linux, Solaris, and this tool that I'm talking about goes by the name of Netcat. Now before we dig deeper into the uses of Netcat, please note that this session is only for educational purposes and I personally do not encourage any sort of illegal activity using this tool or any other tool for that matter. Now let me take a quick moment to actually list out the topics that I'm going to cover today. So firstly, we're going to see what is Netcat, then we're going to see the modes Netcat runs on, then we're going to see the general Netcat commands that are going to be used throughout our demonstration too. In the end, we are going to see the general use cases of Netcat, and finally, we are going to go through a demonstration of Netcats ourselves. Okay, so what exactly is Netcat? Like so many hacker tools, was created to be a network analysis tool. Netcat, like so many other hacker tools, was created to be a network analysis tool. It was developed by a fellow known as the Hobbit on the forums, and he gave away this tool to the IT community without compensation. Now, Netcat was built to open up TCP and UDP connections between two machines over any port your heart desires. But after the community started putting a collective effort into the tool, new features like port scanning were introduced. Today, it can be used for port forwarding, file transfer, remote administration, and even setting up an open backdoor. Netcat has been widely considered to be the Swiss Army knife of information security. Now, an important feature of Netcat is that it can serve both as a client and as a server. We'll talk about this just in a moment. Now, Netcat is also designed as a dependable backend device that can be used directly or easily driven by other programs and scripts. Also, it's a treat to work on for network administrators, programmers, and pen testers because it's a feature-rich network debugging and investigation tool. In 2000, Netcat was also voted the second most functional network security tool, and in 2003 and 2006, it gained fourth place in the same category. Now, that was a lot about Netcat and its history. Now, let's discuss the modes Netcat works in. So, Netcat basically has two modes that it runs in. We'll see how both these modes are being implemented when we are going through the demonstration. Now, firstly, we have a client mode. The client always initiates the connection with the listener, and all the errors in a client mode are put into the standard error queue. Now, in client mode, it is required to give the IP address and the port of the listener. So basically, the machine that initiates the connection to the listening device is the client device, and the machine that we are listening on is basically going to run on the listener mode. So in this mode, the listener always listens for the connection on a specific port number that we have specified. Now its output can be in any standard output format too. Okay, so now that we know the modes that Netcat works in, it's only obvious that we are going to go through the Netcat commands. Now, one thing I forgot to mention is that Netcat only has a command line interface, so most of the options and configurations is done through the command line on Windows and the Bash terminal on Linux. Now, every terminal on different OSs generally have a different syntax, but what you see in this blue box on your screen is the most common Netcat syntax. So it goes as follows. Firstly, we go NC, then the options that we are going to target, then the target IP address, and then we input the port number that we are going to run on. Now, this is only for Windows. On Linux, you just have to replace the NC that you see with Netcat. Now, Netcat has a wide variety of options to choose from when running a specific command, and these options are represented on the command line with letters, and these are called flags. So now let's discuss the most used flags that are generally used in Netcat. So firstly, we have the -L flag, which is an option that tells Netcat to be in the listening mode. So basically, if you put -L, your command is basically to listen on some port. Then you have the U port, which is basically to shift Netcat from TCP mode to UDP mode. Then we also have the -P flag, which is used to set the port that we are going to listen on. Then is the hyphen E flag, which is one of the most important flags. Now, this tells us what operation to perform after a successful connection, which is basically setting up the payload. Then we also have a capital L flag, which makes the listener a persistent listener. Then we also have the WN flag. This option defines the timeout value for Netcat. So for example, W indicates to wait for 5 seconds before any timeout. And last but not the least, we have the hyphen V flag. Now this is the verbose mode. So verbose meaning that it will give a very detailed output of whatever you're wanting. We will see what all these mean in a much better way when we're actually going through the demonstration, so just sit tight for that. Okay, now that we have a clear idea of Netcat syntax, let's focus on the main subject of this session, that is the use cases of Netcat. So the first use case of Netcat is data transfer. Netcat is a great tool to send files over the network from one machine to another. In my demonstration, which we will get to in a minute, you will see that I am running two machines. Firstly, I have a Windows 10 installed on my laptop, and on VM, I'm running Ubuntu. Now, both are connected via a network bridge, so they are part of my internal, and we can use this to create a simple server and use that to transfer any sort of file. Netcat works with both TCP and UDP, and data transfers can be done in two ways, basically. The first way is pulling a file from a listener from a client. In this type of transfer, the file is actually pulled from a listener. Now, the second type is pushing a file to a listener from a client. This includes basically pushing a file to the listener from the client. Now, the next most popular use of connection is established. On Linux, these backdoors can be made persistent, which means even after the current user logged out, the backdoor will keep running in background, and this can be achieved with the usage of the hyphen capital L flag, which makes us a persistent listener. So first, the whole code can be dumped into a file, and then the permissions will be changed to readable and writable formats so that it can be executed as a script. Next, Netcat is a very nifty tool for setting up reverse shell and even remote administrative connections. So getting a reverse shell or remote shell is one of the key goals in setting in offensive security. First, it's important to understand the difference between a remote shell and a reverse shell. So basically, a remote shell, or commonly known as bind shell, is when you are binding a shell to a local port on one machine, and another machine connects to that port to remotely use the shell. On the other hand, a reverse shell is when you tell the shell to connect back to your machine, which is listening for a connection ready for exploitation. Now, choosing which one to use is dependent completely on the network. To give a much simpler analogy, suppose there's this guy called Dennis and he has a computer connected to the internet but within a NAT network. And then there's Sophie, who is directly connected to the internet. Now Sophie's computer is directly accessible from the internet, but Dennis's system is not, because it's basically behind a NAT. Now if Dennis needs a shell on Sophie's computer, he can use a remote shell. He simply tries to connect with Sophie's system via Netcat while Sophie starts listening for a connection. Now once connected, she can bind her shell to connections, and the remote shell is established and Dennis can execute commands via the shell. But it's important to understand that if Sophie wants a shell on Dennis's computer, she cannot connect to this computer as his system is not publicly available because it's behind a NAT. To overcome this, Dennis would need to bind his shell from his side to the network via Netcat and connect to Sophie, while Sophie should just start listening for incoming connections. Once connected, Sophie would have access to Dennis's shell and can execute commands as well. So basically, a bind shell is you connecting from your machine to the shell, and a reverse shell is when the shell is connecting to a listening service on your machine. And now that brings us to the last use case of Netcat that is very popular, and that is setting up of relays. So Netcat can be configured to set up relays, which is basically you would bounce an attack from one machine to another and make a chain. Now Netcat relays can be created by several ways. Now let's discuss the most two popular ways. So firstly, on Windows, you can create a batch process with your desired content and basically save it as a batch file, which is basically the .bat extension that you see. Then the batch file can be just very simply executed with the hyphen E flag after connection has been successfully established. This will be very clear when we get to the demonstration. Now on Linux or Unix, relays are invoked using a special type of file called FIFO. Now this FIFO type file helps in creating and moving data back and forth on the command line. Okay, so I guess now it's time you all have been waiting for, which is the demonstration of Netcat. Now I've already made you aware that Netcat has a plethora of uses, and due to time restrictions, I can't really show all of them. So I'll basically show the most common uses like chatting, file transfer, and remote administration. They'll be simplistic use cases, but they can be used with other scripts to perform a series of actions, and I'll leave that bit to your imagination and creativity, because that's what networking is all about in the end. It's all about how you creatively use a network for your own good. Okay, so let's get to the demonstration part. Now, before we go ahead with Netcat, we need to make sure we have two systems. Now, for this demonstration, I'm going to be using Windows 10 as a listening device, and I'm going to be running Ubuntu on a virtual machine. So now that I've cleared that out, let's get ahead to the installation part. So for installing on Windows, you can basically go here and basically go on this site, on this link. I've added the download link in the description, and then you just hit this link, Netcat 1.11. It'll download the file for you. I've already downloaded it, so I won't be downloading it again. It's on my desktop. So as you guys can see, it's Netcat 1.11. You get a zip file like this, and then you just extract it. So to start up Netcat out here, all you do is start up this folder and open a command prompt window there. So you have to be very sure that you're opening the command prompt window there. Now it's time we set up our Ubuntu service. Now before we set up Ubuntu, it's very important that we set up the network configuration. So go into Global Tools and set up a VirtualBox host only Ethernet adapter. Then go into the settings out here. Go to where is network? Yeah, network. So in network, you just choose the virtual host only Ethernet adapter. So with that out of the way, let's go and get started with this demonstration. Okay, so first of all, what we're going to do is, if you guys remember, I had very clearly said that Netcat can be used to set up a communication between two machines. So let me just log into this Ubuntu machine once. Okay, so first of all, we need to open the terminal. So go ahead and search for the terminal, or just hit Control T. That should also do it. Now once the terminal is open, now before you use Netcat, you want to go through all the options that are available. So to do that, you just go and type Netcat and help. Okay, I'd also forgotten how to tell y'all to actually install this on Linux. It's pretty easy actually, you just go apt-get install Netcat. Now I've already installed that, so I'm not going to run it, but if you don't have Netcat installed on your Linux machine, you can just simply do it with apt-get install Netcat. Now, once we actually run Netcat and help, we see the number of options that we have for running this tool. So first of all, we have the -4 flag, which basically tells Netcat that we are using IPv4. Then we can use the -6 flag, which tells Netcat we are using IPv6. Then we have the -B flag, which allows us to broadcast. Then we are also having the -N flag, which is very important. It saves a lot of time because we can suppress the name and port resolution scheme. Then there is the -V, which is verbose. We're going to be using this a lot to actually get a verbose output. Also, you can do the same thing on your Windows machine. So you just go NC and help. It's not Netcat on Windows, if you remember, it's NC. It also gives you the same things. You can see all the options that are available, and you can set the port number with -P, just like I had said. So let's get started. So first of all, to get a communication started between two machines, that is this machine out here and this one out here, we'll need to first set up a listening device. Now to set up a listening device, you can just go NC, then we're going to say that we're going to use the N flag so that we do not want to actually get the host name resolution. Then we're going to go, we need a verbose output. We're going to say that we're going to be listening, and then we need to put the port number. Now that's a lot of flags, so basically you can just tag them behind each other. So we go NC-NVLP, and then we choose the port number. Now, as I had said, that Netcat can be actually run on any port that you want to, so it's upon your heart's desire. So let's choose the 1100 port number. Hit enter, and as you guys can see, it says it's listening for all sorts of connections on port number 1100. Now before that, we also need to know the IP address. So let's open up another command prompt window and go ipconfig. So our IP address is 192.168.146.3. So we'll be targeting this IP address. Now let's head back to our Linux machine. Let's clear our screen out. And we go netcat, N for no hostname resolution, verbose output. Then we set the port number. So we go 192.168.146.3, and then we tell them the port number. So it was 1100. So this will set up a connection. Okay, I think I did something wrong. Yeah, let's just remove that P tag. Okay, so now we have a connection successful. So our connection is successful with the TCP mode. Now, here's something interesting. Let's keep this out here. As you guys can see, it's saying that it's connected from this unknown source, like 192.168.146.4. Now, if you type any message out here, so suppose you were tech support, so you could say, hi, we want to communicate from this device, so say, hi, my name is Arya. I'm here to help you out. So suppose you are tech support and you're connecting to a customer to help them out, you can probably use Netcat for that. You hit enter and it appears out here. Okay, there seems to be something wrong. So let's try again. So hey, this is some message. Yeah, so that there was some delay in that. So hey, this some message came out. And if you pressed enter, now you can see that our message has come through. So basically, we have a successful communication between the two machines running out here. Now you could have also targeted any IP address that is not under your subnet by entering that public IP. Okay. Now we can also scan ports with Netcat, but I'm not really going to show that because there are far more efficient tools like Nmap for the same. Now I've made a pretty good guide to Nmap and how you can use Nmap to survey your network, and you can definitely check that out in the playlist. Now that's enough self-advertising for myself, so let's move forward with Netcat. So the next thing that we're going to see is transferring files. So basically, we can transfer almost any sort of file. And what we're going to do is create a server on a random port number, which will serve as the medium for the file transfer. So let's try and do that. So firstly, I need to create a file. So I'll be sending the file from, as you guys can see, this, hey, this some message also came out. So let's close this connection here. Let's clear our screen. And now I'm going to create a text file and send it from this machine, that is my Ubuntu machine, to the Windows machine. So basically we go echo and then whatever text we want to put. So suppose we want to say these are the instructions for your issue. So imagine your tech support again and you're sending some file which has some instructions to actually resolve some issue. Put in the arrow and we're going to say that we're going to save it in incoming, or let's just call it info.txt. Now to actually see if we have created the file, we go ls and yep, we have info.txt, and It indeed does contain our instructions for the issue. So now it's time we send this to the Windows machine. So for that, firstly, we need to set up a listener. So we go NC, hyphen N for no resolution, L for listening, V for verbose, and P for port number. So let's run it on a different port number now. So let's go 1200. And we're going to save whatever we get from this port into a file called receive.txt. Okay, so it's running on port number 1200, and we can send whatever file we want. So let's head back to our Linux machine. Now to send the file, the command is actually something like this. So you go hyphen N and V, then the IP address 192.168.146.3, and then you just reverse the arrow and you say which file you want to send. So info.txt. I forgot the port number. So you have to specify the port number, and it's 1200 if I remember correctly. And as you see, it says the connection was successfully made. Now, since Netcat is a very old tool, there's actually no way to know when your transfer has ended. But since for this demonstration I've chosen a very small text file, we can already assume that it's done. Now to see if it's done or not, just close the connection. And now let's just check what files we have. So if you see, there is a received.txt right out here. Now if you just go and open received.txt. Oh man. Received. My spellings are horrible. So receive.ts. So as you guys can see, it contains the instructions for your issue. Now this could have been a really long file with a lot of instructions, and I'll leave the creativity up to you. Now also, instead of a text file like I just showed, you guys could have sent an exe file too, which completely solves the issue. Or if you're just friends that are communicating over Netcat, you can even send media files. Now the last use that of Netcat that we're going to see is actually opening a reverse shell, or actually getting a backdoor access basically. Now to do this, first of all we need to start a listening service. So NC NLVP, the port number, so let's go 1000 this time. And we also need the E flag. So the E flag will basically tell us, once the connection is set, what we actually want to do. So basically the payload. So for this demonstration, I'm going to be running our command prompt shell from Linux. So basically it should run command prompt once I connect from the Linux shell. So let's clear this out. Then we go netcat. Why am I typing? So we just want to connect to port number 1000, if I'm not wrong. Let's just check again. It's port number 1000. So once we connect on port number 1000, as you guys can see, it says C user aria desktop netcat 1.11. This is basically where we are. Now, just think of the possibilities that are now possible. Like, you're already in that guy's computer. You can change the folder. You can make a new folder. Like this. So suppose you want to make a folder called hacked. So hacked already exists somehow. So let's make hacked 2. You can even remove stuff. So you can go delete hacked that we had somehow created. So yeah, I want to delete hacked. You can do all sorts of stuff. The limits are endless. It's almost endless. Like, how much ever command prompt options you know, the more you can do with this tool. Okay guys, so that was how you can actually get access to another person's computer using Netcat. Now, in offensive security, getting a reverse shell is a very big step in compromising a system. Unfortunately, in real life scenarios, in most cases, Netcat is not available, and you really have no immediate way to install or run Netcat. For any method to work, the attacker either needs to be able to execute arbitrary commands on the system, or your other options are mostly limited by the installed scripting languages on the target machine, which can range from Bash, Perl, Python, or even PowerShell. Other than that, you could upload a file that could be executed by opening the browser, for example. You could send a reverse shell script that is probably written in PHP or JavaScript. Okay guys, so that brings us to the end of our session for today. Now, I hope you guys had a lot of fun learning about Netcat and its basic uses. If you all want more videos on Netcat or any other cybersecurity tool, you can leave a comment regarding that in the comment section below, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. And apart from that, if you liked today's session, please leave the video a like and share it with your friends. It seriously means a lot to us if you do that. So until next time, goodbye.